Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. As we roll into the second hour of the show, we've talked about the Philadelphia Eagles. This half hour, the Steelers. Final half hour, Penn State football. We're going to have Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com joining us to break down the tape. Interesting, when I asked him about the tape, he said he felt that Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh had great chemistry. I said, Dave, wrong tape. I know it's the tape that everyone would prefer to watch. You and your acquaintances were not happy with how things went.
No. No, we all agreed pathetic was the best way to describe Sunday's performance.
Well, you know, I mean, you can't use the word pathetic on the air or else you get suspended.
I said we agreed that that's how we felt. I didn't say I said that.
If people know what I'm talking about, the Ted Robbins suspension, who's about as nice a guy as there is on the face of the earth. I've met Ted a couple times. Class act, okay? Just by the way, just so you know. Final half hour, Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune to talk about Penn State football. The entire hour, as is the entire show, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, means everything to them. More than five decades of service. Of insurance needs, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Dave Bryan, I want to make one quick Penn State football point, if that is okay with you.
I'm more than acceptable to that.
I feel better. This is an excellent coaching staff, and you can tell in a couple of things they do, not just how they treat the players and how they work the players and strategically and so forth, but they understand how to break guys in. And I'll give you an example. And I talked about this on the broadcast Saturday. I'll reiterate that and then get to the offensive line part. You notice when Christian Campbell has come into the game at corner, how has he come into the game? He's come into the game and they keep out Amos, Kaiser, and either Jordan Lucas or Trevor Williams. Okay? So in other words, when he's out there with three veterans. Whenever they bring in Marcus Allen, it's always Williams, Lucas, Kaiser. Okay? With Marcus Allen. Whenever they bring in Grant Haley, you know, of course, and Haley's different because he's also playing in the nickel and dime sub packages. Okay? But when he's been brought into play and it's just four deep, then he's out there with either Williams or Lucas at the other corner, Amos and Kaiser. They've always had him out there with three veterans. When Gary Wooten has come into the game, it's been Naeem Wortman and Brandon Bell, two veterans around him when he's come into the game. They've always made sure that whomever is the newcomer in the back seven that's been brought in, they have been the only newcomer brought into the game and surrounded by veterans. Have you noticed that? Now let's transition to the offensive line. Idealistically, you'd like to have that stud freshman offensive lineman that you could play. You would like to have a mixture of juniors and seniors on your offensive line. Okay, and now in this sequence, we'll bring in Brendan Mann to work with the veterans. Now, in this next sequence, we're going to bring in Andrew Nelson, the other redshirt freshman, to work with the veterans. Now, in this sequence, we're going to bring in Brian Gaia, who's never worked with, you know, is making the transition from defensive line to offensive line to work with the veterans. They don't have that luxury with the offensive line, but you see what the philosophy is for the most part as to what they do with other young players. They get them into the mix, not together, but with veterans surrounding them that can also be of benefit and help to them. And the offensive line doesn't have that yet. That's because of everything that's come together here. And it's just really, it's all the forces all combined into one, because these are the best guys that they have. They are. But you have two redshirt freshmen who have now have five games under their belts, two defensive tackles who now have five offensive games under their belts, a converted guard who's your center, and then a left tackle who's can be a really good player for you. That's what you have. You don't have the luxury of breaking in a guy, a series here and a series there, like you do with a Christian Campbell, like you do with a Gary Wooten. I hope that illustrates a point. How about that? Now, I did all of that in part to make that point and then talk to Donnie Collins later, but also to kill enough time where Steeler fans didn't have to listen about their team, even though Dave Bryant's a great guest. What do you think of that strategy, Kev?
Yeah, I'm a captive audience. But that's okay. I like what he has to say, and I'm wondering if he thinks the same thing I'm thinking. That's what I'd really like to know.
Well, Dave, did it look any better in person than what we saw on TV?
It was, I tell you, it was ugly. You know, there were some bright spots on offense there. That's obvious. And look, this team is scoring more points through the same time, you know, last year through four games. I posted that on Twitter a little while ago. I think they have right now, where was my number on this? I'll pull it up for you here in a minute. But, yeah, sure. They're outscoring what they did. They're on a better pace offensively. But the defense has given away some things. And when you look at what they did yesterday offensively, I thought overall up until that final offensive possession, I really thought Todd Haley, you know, called a good game. And, of course, you know, the offensive coordinator is always going to be a lightning rod. And especially when the team has, you know, gone 8-8 the last two seasons and now still 500. But I like what the offense did. They left some points, of course, on the grass there. Justin Brown dropped that early touchdown pass that Ben Roethlisberger hit him right in the numbers in. They gave away a few other plays on offense, most notably the drop by Antonio Brown on the flea flicker, you know, in the second half of the game. But, offense, in my opinion, is not what's killing this team. It's the defense. And, boy, when you look at the I like to track those explosive plays of 20 yards or more, Steve. And, you know, they gave away most of those in the fourth quarter against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that really they had no business allowing that chunk of yardage.
Dave, on the Murphy play, was that cover two?
You know, their guys, Mike Glennon, during his press conference, called it a cover two beater, and so did Lewis Murphy. However, I think there was a comment made by Troy Polamalu after the game that was cover three. Now, the only angle that we have right now is the game, you know, the game film, the actual, you know, live TV broadcast. And judging where Cortez Allen was on that play, you know, we're not going to get a better look until the All-22 comes out, but it looks like it was cover three because Cortez was playing over the top there. It's, you can't really see the safeties, you know, either of the safeties or William Gay in that play. Now, you can see Mike Mitchell come down and try to help out with the underneath route over there, and that would also kind of make you, assuming Troy Polamalu was in the middle of the field on that play, it would make you think it was cover three. But regardless, that, you know, that kind of play that they had is kind of a cover two, cover three beater. I'm not convinced that Bryce McCain was in the right spot. Once again, the All-22 will give us a better look on that. But, you know, it was a nice play, and they talked, Glennon said after the game, that they put that play in just this past week for Lewis Murphy for you know, that type of instance. They ran the tight end Safarian Jenkins on a post, and then really Murphy, who was lined up on the outside, kind of ran a post up underneath him, and really it was a soft spot between the underneath coverage and the over-the-top coverage, which was, you know, way deep on that play. And look, if Murphy doesn't catch that ball, it looks like Safarian Jenkins is going to catch it, you know, if it's overthrown.
And the odd thing about that is cover three, you're inviting them to run that play because guess what? That's perfectly defended. I mean, cover three is the perfect defense for that play. You're inviting them to do that. You're baiting them into that play, and they still completed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another thing. You go back and you look at the four-man pass rush on that play. I took that clip, Steve, and put it in my video editor because I wanted to know the exact amount of seconds that Glennon had in the pocket there. And I calculated it 3.6 seconds from the time the ball was snapped to the time he released it, 3.6, 3.7. And at that time, there wasn't a Steelers pass rusher 2.5 yards from him. So, you know, on top of it, you just can't give a quarterback that amount of time, you know, to complete a pass like that. And it was a perfectly run route all the way around, you know, by their offense on there. And they definitely saw a hole in there, and they completed a play. Props to them. And then the yards after the catch was just, you know, icing on the cake.
Check this all out, by the way, at Steeler Depot, okay? Next part is... fans will second guess the third down and five or six before, you know, whether or not to run it or throw it. They elected to run it and thus allow Tampa to use its final timeout. Just a general thought, because I don't think there's a wrong answer here. Just a general thought on what you thought about the play call.
Well, you know, Tomlin just has got to stop trusting this defense, in my opinion, until he starts giving them some reasons to trust them. If you're willing to pass on second down and long, you know, following that penalty on the false start snap on Marquise Pouncey, why wouldn't you be willing to put the ball in the hands of your quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, and let him win the game? You needed 5 yards there. Tampa Bay, here's what burned me too, Steve, is, you know, Tampa called a timeout after that completion to Marcus Wheaton on second down. That was their third and final timeout, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger was not even summoned over to the sidelines there to even discuss some options there. It was like the mind was made up there. Now, right, the play that they ran, you know, it's not uncommon for teams to run, you know, a same play several times during the game, right, out of the same formation with having different, you know, options or a check. You know, a check to it or an audible on there. That same play they had ran earlier in the game, I don't know if you remember the nice run, 13 or 14 yards,
yes,
by Le'Veon Bell that resulted in him also getting the unsportsmanlike,
right,
conduct penalty. That was basically the same play right there. And Tampa Bay, on, you know, defensively, they lined up against the Steelers 11 personnel, which, you know, includes one tight end. Heath Miller was detached from the line of scrimmage. So you have five offensive linemen versus six guys in the box there, and they were playing press man all the way across on the Steelers' eligibles right there. So I can see, you know, versus that defensive lineup, possibly, you know, why they went to the run there. But you're talking about third down and 5 yards to go,
right,
and really, you know, you're depending on your offensive linemen, everybody, to win their blocks in that situation. I just thought that maybe some sort of a better package play in that situation with a better check to, you know, versus the coverage that they face would have been a better call there. And it'll be interesting to see if Mike Tomlin is asked about that or if Todd Haley's asked about that later on in the week. Like I said, I didn't have much of a problem with most of the play calling in the game, but boy, in that situation, man, you got to put the ball in Roethlisberger's hands, especially if you're willing to throw the ball on second down. Why not on third?
Right, why not on third? Because here's the other part, and it's not talked about that often, but it's a very important point. You play offense to what your defense is, and you play defense to what your offense is. I mean, and in that case, they played to their defense as if their defense was a shutdown world beater.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and the defense, you know, they had their points during the game. The second half was of course totally different. In fact, the fourth quarter was totally different. But you know, as I said, over time here with this young defense dating back, you know, a couple of years now, this defense has really hasn't given Tomlin any reason to trust them. And look, I know you can't predict a JV punt from Brad Wing, and oh boy, what a time for him to uncork his worst punt of the season there. But you can't predict that stuff, and you can't. I'm with you on this. I think you have to play to your strengths, and right now the Steelers' offense is their strength. And why not, if you need 5 yards, especially you just showed that you're willing to pass on second down, why not on third?
Right, exactly. One thing, though, that they do have, as far as I'm concerned, this schedule is favorable for them to build up some goodwill, don't you think?
Boy, you would have thought it would have started this week.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
Most definitely. And look, I expected this to be a close game. Tampa Bay coming off of an ugly, ugly defeat and then having all that extra time to prepare. You knew they were going to be up for this game. Still, though, you know, it's a game that the Steelers should have won, and at least by a touchdown, in my opinion. And now you look at the Steelers' schedule, you know, you're going to go to Jacksonville, and you're going to play, I like to call him Blake Bortles' burger, because, you know, his play really reminds you of a young Roethlisberger. He's had a couple of weeks now, you know, under his belt to get acclimated. Yeah, is this really a gimme game? You know, there's no, in my opinion, and I think maybe we talked about this last week, is there's no such thing as a gimme in the NFL anymore. The phrase trap game should be excluded from the NFL, because on any given Sunday, you know, teams can jump up and bite you, especially if you let them hang around in the fourth quarter. But when you look at Jacksonville, when you look at Cleveland, when you look at Houston all coming up, these are three games that, you know, I hate to use a cliche, on paper you should beat, but, you know, that's what we're looking at right here. And I tell you, these next three games, you know, before they play Indianapolis in week 8, are really going to set the tone for the rest of the season. If they can sweep these next three games, they might be in okay shape, you know, depending on how they play in those games.
They're also on a pace to set an NFL record for penalty yardage in a season. When you watch the tape, number one, are they earning them? And number two, how much are they killing them in terms of the quote, hidden yards we talk about?
Boy, when you look at those penalties yesterday, it just seemed the flags were flying. 13 penalties, 125 yards. Tomlin was most aggravated after the game about the post and pre-snap penalties. And then you turn around and, you know, Will Grace from the Associated Press reports this morning that Antonio Brown said Monday morning that he wasn't aware that going to the ground, you know, in a post-touchdown celebration was illegal. How does a player not know that? You know, especially one of your best players on offense, as long as he's been in the league, that just can't happen. So there's a starting point for Tomlin right there. You know, at the beginning of the week, why not go over and make sure everybody knows, you know, what the post and pre-snap penalties are, especially when it comes to celebration stuff. The stuff with the face mask, you know, look, that's reaching. You know, you've got to set yourself up to be in a better position to tackle. Sure, occasionally you're going to get a hand caught in there, but it just seems to be the common theme here, these stupid penalties that are costing them. I think they had, what, 6, I think, yesterday for 15 yards or more. That hidden yardage does add up, and it's got to be stopped moving forward. They've got to get these penalties under control, because, you know, it's not the sole reason why they're losing games, but it certainly isn't helping.
They certainly have the look of an 8-18 the way this thing's played out, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. You know, you just don't know. I like to say they're more bipolar than I am. and that's pretty bipolar, Steve. Look, you just don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next. Now, coming out of the Panthers game, look, I sounded the alarm bell saying that, look, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure that, you know, we should be totally comfortable with what we saw. You turn around, you look at what Baltimore did to Carolina, it really makes you think that win really wasn't, you know, should be highly regarded after that.
Right.
This team has to take this on a week-to-week basis and really treat every game as if it was a playoff game. And that sounds so cliche, but you just don't know what you're going to get from this team. And defensively, look, I said it from the start, this team is going to struggle defensively this year, and it's not going to get better overnight. They're doing a better job against the run, but still, these explosive plays, and that goes back to last season with these explosive plays, 20 yards or more at a chunk, whether it be pass, run, or as a result, you know, on 15 yards on top of a 7-yard run, that's 22 yards. That's still an explosive play in my book. Unless they start cutting that type of stuff down, you're still going to have these problems on defense.
And Antonio Brown set a record, what, 5 catches or more in a game in 20-plus consecutive games. His level of consistency, what's it meant?
Boy, you'd be hard pressed to find. Look, he did get a gift on that. I mean, let's not fool ourselves on that touchdown.
Sure.
On that touchdown pass against Altron Werner there. He got away with a push there, but still, it was an amazing catch. This guy is going to give you, no matter how you try to cover him, he's still going to give you, you know, your 7, 8, 9 catches a game for, you know, 100 yards. And he's going to give you a touchdown or two possibly in the game. And he's one of the best in the game. Boy, if he can get these post and pre-snap penalties under control. And look, another thing, he's never going to be known as a great blocker. But I think there are some areas in that, you know, in that portion of his game where he can improve on. But he's definitely, you know, hard-pressed to not call him one of the top 5 wide receivers in the league right now.
Dave, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Steeler Depot's the place to go. And appreciate your analysis every week.
Steve, you do a great job. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Dave Bryan, Steeler Depot. He did not use the word pathetic.
Okay.
I mean, did you agree with what he was saying or disagree?
The only thing I do kind of disagree, we don't stand on the same spot when it comes to the offensive play calling.
I don't understand what issue you have with that. I really don't.
My issue.
I'm really confused about that because that's a real big time fan thing.
Well, my issue is when you're seeing success running a no-huddle offense, or and especially at key times in the game, and then all of a sudden for two or three games you decide not to use it. It makes no sense. I'd like to know why they've gotten out of that habit. I mean, when they were in that habit with Cleveland early in the game, they were moving the ball, scoring points, and then they stopped.
Okay, I understand that. Now remember what I always tell you.
Okay.
You play offense to what your defense is. You play defense to what your offense is.
So you're saying they score too quickly by that no huddle offense.
Well, but the problem is your defense isn't good enough to hold up to it. Your defense is not good enough to play 30-plus minutes in a game.
And I also don't think they're using – I don't think they're using enough of the tight end. Now, this week was better. But I just don't think they used Heath Miller as effectively over the last couple of weeks as they did this past Sunday.
Now, hurry up to change the tempo, maybe once a half or something like that. I can see that. But you can't do that all the time unless you have a defense that can back it up. They don't have a defense to back it up. They need to eat up some clock to keep those guys off the field. Especially they're too old in a couple of spots. Kiesel, Polamalu. Do you want them out there for extra plays?
No.
I don't. You play offense to what your defense is. You play defense to what your offense is.
I'd just like to see it again. I haven't seen it in a while.
You play offense to what your defense is. You got to shut down defense. You go no huddle all you want. Unfortunately, sport... you are far from a shutdown defense.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Great to have you with us. Joined by a guy who buys jerseys and worships athletes.
No, I don't have any to worship right now.
Interesting how everybody else said they were playing cover two, and he's the only guy that said they were playing cover three.
Are you back on the Troy Pollard? Well, what if he was right and everybody else was wrong? Is that possible? You know, we were talking during the break. I am not a big fan of the way the offense is being called by Todd Haley. Now, the offense is averaging 412 yards a game. That is fifth in the NFL. Are you okay? Do you need oxygen? You're going to be all right?
I thought you were being serious. Okay. okay. Please continue.
No, I was just saying, I have to admit, in looking at this number, I was rather surprised that the Steelers are fifth in total offense at 412 yards a game. So I have to ask myself, all right, I have to ask myself, If you're getting 412 yards a game, is it the offense that's the issue or is it the defense that's the issue?
Okay, let's go on to other things. You and Sean can work that out in some back room. You okay?
No, I just think there's lots of issues and. One more loss like last Sunday, and I'm going to be a free agent fan.
Football team.
Yeah, no,
I'm football team.
Not arguing with you.
Okay, they'll be 3-2 after this week. They'll beat Jacksonville. It doesn't really matter how many mistakes they make. They'll beat Jacksonville. Okay, they'll probably lose at Cleveland. We'll be back to 3-3.
No, don't say that.
What? Here's a big issue that. Okay, all right. Here's going to be the difference between me and you, the fan. Okay,
uh-huh.
I have no dog in the hunt.
That's true.
Okay, if you were in the AFC East, this would not be as great an issue. You have right now a series of mediocrity within the AFC East. The Patriots are nowhere near what they've been. The Jets continue to stumble along and can't find any traction. The Dolphins are okay, but not great, and the Bills just don't have enough yet. Unfortunately for you, here's the big issue. You are in the AFC North. The Bengals are really, really good. The Ravens, it turns out, are becoming very, very good. The Browns have really improved. That's a big issue, and you still have six games remaining within, or should we check that, four games remaining within the division. So of the 12 games you have remaining, one-third are still in the division against three teams you're going to have a real tough time beating. Now, you won't go 0-4 in those games. You shouldn't. But it's also not out of the realm of possibility because Cincinnati, talent for talent, is a better football team than the Steelers.
I totally agree with that.
Baltimore, talent for talent, probably is a better football team than the Steelers.
I agree with that as well.
And Cleveland's a 50-50 game.
That's a game where I feel the Steelers should win and shouldn't even... The first game shouldn't even have been close.
I don't. I think it's a 50-50 game. I mean, the Ravens are playing well. Tucker needed a field goal at the end of the game to beat the Browns there.
I don't know. One more loss like against Tampa, and I'm going to follow Bruce Arians to Arizona.
Fine. Do whatever you wish. We can plug other people in here. All right.
It's not exactly what I meant, but you get the idea. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to take a show and do the show in Glendale.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it will be warmer there than here in a couple of months.
Yes. All right. Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune, joins us. Donnie, welcome. Great to have you back. Donnie Collins, outstanding writer, Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, how are you?
I'm just glad I was the sports bozo of the week.
You don't know how every single day I feel like I escape.
It's a narrow miss for me every day of my life.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Hey, Donnie, how do you look at it? Do you look at it as the Northwestern game, or do you try to look at it as a body of work over five games?
I think you look at it as a body of work over five games because it's all really related. I think that after the game, James Franklin put it really well. It's, you know, they made a lot of mistakes going 4-0, and they just all came back and haunted them against a Northwestern team. I don't think that's a great team by any means. But certainly they do some things that Penn State doesn't handle very well. They spread the ball around. You know, their offense is pretty up-tempo, and they got a couple of good pass rushers off the edge. But, you know, in hindsight, yeah, it's pretty easy to predict that could have happened. But, you know, you're still going in 4-0, and I think people got blinded by the record and kind of maybe ignored how the team was really playing during that stretch. But that's only natural. I mean, the old saying is you are what your record is, but sometimes that's just not the case.
All right, so let's get to Christian Hackenberg for a moment. How do you view how he's played?
I think he's been really good.
Yes.
I put it in my column this week. Sometimes he looks like a 29-year-old who should be playing in the NFL, and other times he looks like a 19-year-old who's a sophomore in college. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what Christian Hackenberg is. He's a sophomore in college. He's learning the position. He's learning a new offense pretty much. He's trying to stand up in the pocket when he's getting hit. He's making mistakes when he's trying to do too much. And that's all stuff that young kids do. I don't think he's regressing. I've seen a lot of people, you know, comment that he's regressing a little bit, that his mechanics are off. And I do think he's not mechanically as consistent as maybe people would like. I also would attribute that to him being 19. I don't think he was mechanically consistent last year either. Mm-hmm. But when he's 22, you know, 20, 21, whatever he's going to be, when he's a finished product here at Penn State, I think he's going to still be the quarterback that everybody thinks he is. Let's put it this way. Penn State's not 4-1, not close without Christian Hackenberg.
Exactly. And the other part, too, is, look, you know, like any sophomore at any position, you still have a learning curve. Doesn't matter.
This is a young team.
Yes.
It's a young team at pretty much every position. I did a column today on the offensive line. It's amazing how young they are as a group. I mean, they don't have veteran backups. They never mind starters who've played more than what now. I mean, they have three starters who play five games in their career. Mm-hmm. So it's just a young team overall. It's, you know, not to make excuses for them. It's not the I don't want to do that, but I think 4-1, considering the way they play, they could be 2-3. You know, but I think 4-1 is pretty good, and I think you have to be happy with the play of the quarterback because he's won you two games.
Right. As for the offensive line, Donnie, as you pointed out, two redshirt freshmen, two converted defensive tackles, a center who actually came in as a guard. All right, and of course, an established guy, Donovan Smith. But the bottom line is, Herb Hand doesn't have a lot of options. This is, quote, the hand he is dealt with right now because he doesn't have anywhere else to turn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, the other argument I've heard is, well, these were pretty good recruits. Yeah, I get it. Mann was a good recruit, and Andrew Nelson's a guy that everybody liked last year. And you know, Dowry and Gaia, I think, you know, those two guys, that's a steep learning curve going across the line. It's a totally different position. So you've got four guys that have never played. And Mangiero, I don't think of a center. I think Mangiero's more of a guard. He's a guy you could plug in everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when this line was really in trouble when Diefenbach got hurt, and you lose a veteran guy like that who's, you know, you could argue between him and Donovan Smith, obviously, who the best lineman on the team is. Right. But it's certainly between those two guys. And when you lose Diefenbach, you lose the guy inside who's going to be able to pick up some of the blitzes and make some of the calls there, and those communications issues they show up every week. You see, every week there's a player or two where somebody comes up the middle and doesn't get blocked. And it's not because they can't block them; it's because they missed the call. They're in the wrong spot. So it's taking some time. Is it taking more time than it should? I don't know. I never played the offensive line. I'm not. Qualified, I don't think to say that, but I think there's some things they could fix. I think that the coaching staff could help these guys out a little bit, simplify it. I don't know what they could do, but I think Herb Hand's a really good coach.
Yes,
I just think it's tough when you have five guys who aren't freshmen or who aren't walk-ons, and it's tough to build a competition. Those guys are going to need to get better during practices when really there's, you know, that those five starters and then Dowry or Geyer, whichever one's not going to start, they have to make each other better. There's no other alternative unless you want to play Wendy Warren at center.
Right.
And I'm not sure, you know, that you want to pick Mangiero out of there because he's got some experience.
Right. Well, in fact, this was a point I made in the previous half hour. When they brought Christian Campbell, and this is outside of nickel and dime, okay, so when they're just playing forward in the secondary, he's always had three other veterans out there with him. When they brought Marcus Allen in, they've had three other veterans around him. For the most part, when Grant Haley's been out there, same thing until they go nickel and dime. When they brought Gary Wooten in, he's been flanked by two veterans. On the offensive line, they don't have that option. You'd like to have four veterans, and then you break in the fifth guy if you had to. That's not the scenario here.
Yeah, it's a bunch of kids learning as they go, and it's tough because the competition's only going to get better. And once you think the football's crazy game, because once you think you got something figured out, there's another coach who's studying the film thinking, no, you don't. I'm going to do this and this and this and throw it all at you. It's like last year's offensive line, I thought, was pretty good. And I mean, I don't think it's not the best I've seen of Penn State by far, but a pretty good offensive line. You could throw a bunch of different things at them and they're going to pick it up. And it's just because they'd seen everything. You had guys who had played a lot. You know, Urschel played a lot of football. You know, Diefenbach had played a lot, and Ty Howell was starting to, he was a senior at the time, he had seen a lot. So those guys, you know, they learn and they see, and, you know, nothing really takes them, you know, off guard. And this line, I think a lot is catching them off guard. You know, they're just seeing some different things, and they're just getting beaten sometimes straight up by more experienced players who are better than them right now. It's tough for them. I understand where James Franklin comes from, that, you know, hey, they're working hard, they want to fix it. And I think they will fix it. I think they're talented guys, and I think in 2 years it's going to be a really good offensive line. But right now they have to figure something out or they're going to get Hackenberg hurt.
Well, I noticed last year, Bill O'Brien's first year, I felt like there was 70 to 75% of the time, Donnie, he put five into the pattern. Five. You know? And last year what I noticed was as the season went last year, it got down to four and at times three in the pattern. He was keeping a tight end and a running back in to max protect. And I thought they put five into the pattern maybe a third of the time to 40% of the time last year. So there are certain things that were happening last year that if you really look into it, you say, okay, wait a minute. Okay, so, I mean, certain things were starting to happen, I think, a year ago.
Yeah, last year was a portent of things to come. I think, and the other thing people talk about a lot, you know, who should play running back, and it's not simple about who should play running back. It's about who's best prepared to do what the offense should do. And I think when a guy like Belton's out there, he protects the pass, and you know, he can pick up the blitzers better than the other two guys. And I think that's why he plays a lot, is because you almost have to kind of max protect in any way you can,
right?
Just to help those kids out up front, because it keeps using the word learning process, and it is for them, but it's at the same point you have to be competitive, and at another point you're 4-0. You have to try to win the game, and you can compete for some things there, and you know they're doing what they have to do to try to win games, but you're seeing against Northwestern, there's just some things that aren't working and that need to be fixed, and the way to fix it for the offensive line is to get them to play more.
Right.
But you can't do that during the week. You can only practice more.
Donnie, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your insight.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We'll come back to the new Steelers offensive coordinator, Kevin Herr.
This is going to be great.
There are now suddenly lots of fans that are becoming Arizona Cardinal fans.
I vote Ben calls his own plays.
Oh, boy. Bart Starr, he's not. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service or price means something to you, it means everything to them. At Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, serving the Valley for over five decades. It's a sporty Sonata this week for Kevin from Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Yeah, it has the backup camera on it, which I've come to now need on a vehicle. Because once you have those little lines on the screen that tells you exactly how far you can get before you actually touch something, it's much easier backing out of the driveway, backing out of a parking stall. It's just one of those things that you don't really realize how beneficial it is until you have it. And it is available as a standard feature on the Hyundai Sonata Sport that will get you 30 miles to the gallon as well. And very comfortable. Lots of room in that thing, too. Five people and luggage and still have plenty of room to move around.
So it's kind of cut back on lawsuits, hasn't it?
My insurance rates, I think, have dropped. So that's good news. So check it out. You can check it out at Kevin Herr on Twitter, also on my Facebook, and you'll be able to see it later this week at Sunbury Motors, at the Hyundai dealership on North 4th Street in Sunbury.
Very nice.
I think I have a solution for the Steelers' issues.
Oh, no.
Let me ask this question before I get into the issue, the Steelers' issues. But my question to you is this. Is the NFL, or as the NFL as a whole, thrown so many personal foul penalties that it's gotten out of hand now? Or is it just because I've been watching a lot of Steeler games?
Personal foul's a personal foul.
I mean, but everything seems to be a personal foul now when you tackle someone.
If you're crossing the line, you're crossing the line. You've already had... Look. You've had eight games now. Okay, eight games. If you can't figure it out, you're not a smart football player.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but now the tackle zone is between the waist and between the thigh and the chest.
Yeah, that's what they talked about that last year, too. What's the difference?
There's an awful lot of personal foul penalties.
A lot of personal fouls.
And there's an awful lot of fouls now on the defense in general for, I don't know, can you even touch a receiver anymore? I mean, can you even put your hand on their shoulder to see where they're at?
You're not supposed to, okay? You're not supposed to. I've tried to emphasize this over and over again. After 5 yards, you are not allowed any contact. Zero. They've really actually been, over the years, it's kind of been a little bit liberal, like a little bit here and there. But you're not supposed to, period. That's all the rule says.
They need to start calling pass interference on the offense. And I don't know that I've seen that this year. I mean, I agree completely with what we were talking about what you were talking about with Dave Bryan as well. That was pass interference on the offense. It was on Brown. He pushed off.
Sure it is. And I've seen a lot of pass interferences in the offense called this year. I've seen it.
I'm just watching the wrong games.
I've seen it called. Come on. The problem is that you don't have a smart football team.
Well, you can't deny that when you're getting a penalty every 4 minutes.
Excuse me, but why does Seattle play good defense?
I don't know. Why do they play good defense? They have good players?
They have superior athletes, younger, okay, and they're actually in position. You have older guys who have lost a step who are out of position.
I don't know. There's so much yellow on the field anymore, it just seems like it's part of the football field.
It's not like that in every game. Your team is not playing well.
And that's why I said I might be watching the wrong games.
Yeah, I watched the Patriots-Chiefs game last night. There weren't a lot of penalties last night. Wasn't a good game either.